Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Ron Harvey, a quintessential country boy born and raised in rural South Carolina in the post-World War II era, is the author of short stories to amuse, baffle, and educate, a witty and thought-provoking collection of musings and cartoons drawn from real-life experiences at work while serving in the U.S. Air Force and beyond. Ron says some things in life are inexplicable. On top of that, they can't be explained. What his book does is captivatingly capture your imagination in unimaginable and preposterous ways. As you read this book of short stories, poems, and cartoons, you will also quickly realize that Ron's imagination has totally run amok. Ron Harvey, author of the delightfully amusing short stories to amuse, baffle, and educate, our guest on This Week in America. Ron, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Pleasure's mine.
This is such a delightful book. It's a great read. You'll laugh, smile as you're reading the book. Many of these you want to go back and read a couple of times so you capture the full essence of what Ron is writing about in the story. Let's talk about how this all began, the inspiration for you to write short stories to amuse, baffle, and educate. When did this begin?
Well, let's see, probably about in the 90s, I had a, I was in sales and marketing, and the boss I had was, he was an extremely smart man. He had a PhD in organic chemistry, and he had, I think he had a PhD in wit as well. And, one day he asked me, he said, Ron, why did they call a fly a fly? Why didn't they call a bird a fly? And I had never thought about that.
Oh, yes.
And he went out for lunch, and I began thinking about it. And while he was out at lunch, I wrote the story, Why Is a Bird Called a bird or a fly. I can't remember the exact phrasing of it right now, but regardless, or as some people say, irregardless.
Yes, still hear that all the time.
I typed out the story rather quickly and put it on his desk. He began reading the story. And I heard him chuckle a few times, and then some silence and a few more chuckles. And he came over to my office and he said, that's pretty good. I thanked him and figured that was the end of it. But he gave it to someone else and they passed it on. And pretty soon people were coming to me and asking questions, Ron, why don't you write about a peanut butter and jellyfish sandwich or some such nonsense? And that's how it all got started.
It's an amazing story. And from there came Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate by Ron Harvey. Mentioned the smile on his face when he read the story that Ron had written. You'll have a smile on your face as you were reading these. And in fact, a fly will buzz by you and you won't look at it the same way. You'll be questioning that same thing, but that's the impact that the Ron's story will have on you. When you sat down to put the stories together, how did you go about compiling stories? And a lot of these had to be from memory.
Well, yeah, some were. And I'm going to regress or digress for just a second.
Sure.
And when I was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi in the Air Force, and I went to electronics school there. And I had an opportunity. I took the exam to go to the Air Force Academy, and I failed the exam. And the part that I failed was vocabulary. And that was in 1966 or 67, early 67. And from henceforth, I made it my goal to improve my vocabulary. And I enjoy etymology of words. And that in itself leads to putting stories together. And being in the Air Force, I learned pretty quickly, and I think I put this somewhere in the book, being in the Air Force, you're stationed with people from all over. And I learned pretty quickly that those boys from up north, they're pretty quick-witted. And if I was going to keep up, I had to do some wit honing. And I went out and bought books on insults and things like that. And I think that helped with my future efforts.
You know, it's interesting. You couldn't get in the Air Force Academy because of vocabulary, and now you could probably get a PhD in vocabulary. I love what you do with the English language. How much fun has that been to look at the English language, and then how critical you probably become as you're hearing people talk, again, irregardless, and hearing them say things that just when you break it down, you parse the sentence, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, or you wonder where the origin is. How do you look at vocabulary now? It has to be fun looking and sort of diagramming everybody's sentences.
It is, and I enjoy it, and it's it can be a challenge at times, but it's interesting to know where words, how, why we say certain things,
yes,
and where words originated. And that in and of itself can even lead to stories, which I think in my book, I think there are a few in there like that. So I always advise people to read it carefully. You have to pay attention to punctuation. For example, I think I wrote a story and it began once, comma, a pun of time, comma. So the name was once, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
But it's just a lot of things in the book like that you have to read carefully.
Well, I mentioned one of the reviews, it's like you will go back 2, 3, maybe even 4 times, pick up something different each time and have a different smile as you go back over that. It's going back and sort of reliving what you know and going, oh, this is what Ron meant. Oh, I didn't catch that the first time through. So you can go back and it gives you so much enjoyment and go back. The book is great for the library. You can go back and reference it from time to time. The book, Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate by Ron Harvey, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, the usual places, wherever books are sold. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stories, just to give an example. One in the beginning, A Tale of a Fish Tale or a fish Story. You take stories like this. Where did that concept for that come from? And you take sayings like that and you put a smile on her face. Tales that we hear all the time, stories that we hear all the time, sayings that we hear all the time, we'll look at differently now because of your book. Where did that story come from?
That's a darn good question. In my second job out of college, I worked for a pulp and paper company, and I started in the activated carbon department and then moved into agricultural chemicals to explain that a little bit. It's we took the chemicals left over after they isolated the cellulose, and we made dispersants. The chemical is called lignin. And this is why I put amuse, baffle, and educate.
Yes.
Because I learned a lot working at that company. I worked in so many different areas, from agricultural chemicals, cement industry, asphalt industry, the rendering industry, the lead acid battery. And I had the opportunity to do quite a bit of traveling, and one of my trips, we had an office in Korea, in Seoul, And I think it, Rick, isn't that the story about the soul cell and a cell and soul?
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's kind of where that came from. Sometimes I'll dwell on a word and find things that rhyme, and homonyms, soul and soul and soul. You know, we have a soul of a shoe, our inner soul, soul, which is a relative of the flounder.
Oh, yes.
So that's where that story came from. Sometimes I'll just get a word or a thought in my mind and what's left of it and just kind of expand on it.
Well, they are delightful stories. And as Ron said, the title of the book, Amuse, Baffle, and Educate. You'll learn something as you go through the book. Baffle as you read some of the stories and go back several times, and amuse as you read these stories. One of my favorites, the story of Al Urgi, a guy named Al Urgi. And as we're going through sinus season down here, that really hit home. You really have, a different sense of humor. I think you enjoy life maybe more than many of us do, because you're always looking for that humorous aspect that's out there.
Well, you absolutely have to, Rick. Life has changed considerably. It's not the easygoing pace that most of us knew.
Yes.
So you have to find the enjoyment where you can. And I guess having a warped mind, having a warped mind helps me cope with some of these things that require coping. And matter of fact, I do have a coping saw as well.
Just to tie it all in together there. And with this age of technology and all the frustrations we go through, the time is right for Ron's book, Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate. Book available wherever books are sold. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to Ron's page on Amazon, be able to order the book there as well. Are you still writing stories down? Will there be a sequel to this?
Another good question. I'm probably about halfway through a second book. And I have to admit, the inspiration is not as readily available as it once was due to people just when I was working, people
yes.
coming to write things. And it does take a little bit of inspiration to sit and write some of these things.
You could maybe watch some of the reality shows on television to get some ideas to The Real Housewives of Somewhere would probably be a whole book unto itself, and taking what they say and trying to translate it for the rest of us. You do such a wonderful job. It's one thing to observe the stories, maybe throw a line or two out there, but to tie them together, to write them. Who's your inspiration as a writer? Are there any writers that you particularly enjoy that write from a humorous standpoint that you look forward to reading?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have not thought about that, Rick, but yeah. And I'll cite one of my stories, and this will help explain the story as well. Patrick F. McManus, when I worked in the agricultural chemicals area, I had another boss who was extremely smart. He was a PhD or a surface chemist, and he's since passed away. But he and I both enjoyed reading Patrick McManus's books. I think one of them was A Fine and Pleasant Misery. Never Sniff a Gift Fish. Patrick McManus was I think he was an English teacher in Washington State. But be that as it may, some of Patrick McManus's characters were Crazy Eddie Muldoon.
Oh, yes.
Rancid Crabtree, Wretch Sweeney, the Troll, So when I was had moved on from the agricultural chemical area and was working in the rendering process, rendering industry, I should say, Bert sent a letter. And of course, when you sent correspondence, everybody in the department had to be copied. So he sent this original looking letter from Muldoon Industries. And that they were in the soap manufacturing business, and they had recently began collecting dead possums and dead armadillo roadkill and wanted to use the tallow in their soap. But the tallow was too dark, and he wanted to know if I had a product that would clarify the tallow. So that led to that story. This is called the Polytol letters. Polytol was a product we made for the rendering industry. So yeah, Patrick McManus was a good one, and I'm sure there were others as well.
Well, and your book will do the same for other people. You will read this. It's a great way to escape again. It's you put a smile on your face. It will brighten up your outlook. The book is so well written. Stories presented in a short story, so you can sit, read, laugh, and go on with life or continue reading. Trust me, you'll want to do at least one more story as you're reading, and suddenly you're there and you've got half the book read and enjoying it. Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate by Ron Harvey, our guest on the program. You use cartoons as well. Talk about that aspect of it, because I love the cartoons in the book.
Well, thank you. I don't know. I don't know if it was my upbringing. Well, it had to be a lot of it. I think I've always had this offbeat sense of humor, and I just see things in a different light and sometimes take things, I shouldn't say literally, but when we say things or see things, there are other things that come to mind. For instance, I don't know if you saw the cartoon, Harry, you'll have to speak up. He's hearing impaired.
Oh, yes. Yes. Could you hear my response? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I did. So with the English language, coming up with this, some of this stuff is not all that difficult.
In fact, it could be almost overwhelming at times, depending on what program you're watching or who you're listening to. You could go back and do a full critique of that. Let's talk about the sense of humor. We're going through a time now where there's just a lot of discourse, a lot of animosity going on. And you try to break that up, at least I do, with humor from time to time, just to sort of escape the mood of the country. How important is a sense of humor? How did that get you through? You were in businesses not necessarily known for their sense of humor. You got through, you excelled, and you're writing about it now and expressing it. How important has humor been in your life to get you through those difficult situations?
I would say very important. If you can look at things, life is just too absolutely short.
Yes.
I'm 77. I'll be 78 this year. And I told my wife not long ago, I said, you know, my life just seems like a blur sometimes. It's gone by so fast. And occasionally I'll go out to the cemetery. I grew up right across from the church. Mom used to make me play piano for church, which I didn't like to do. But when your mom says do it, you have to do it.
You do it, yes.
And she had a good sense of humor. I had an uncle that had a good sense of humor, and I think it just kind of ingrained into me that the less seriously sometimes you have to take things seriously, but most of the times people take things too seriously. Political differences. You know, if somebody thinks one thing and I think another, what the heck? So be it.
Yes.
Just get on with life and make sure your bills are taken care of and your family's fed and go on about it, because you're going to end up in that cemetery soon enough, and it won't matter.
I'm in that same age bracket you are, and it does go by too quickly. It's all of a sudden we're a third of the way through the year, then a half a way through the year. And of course, when we went to school, the 9-month school session went on for like 3 years. It seemed like it was never going to end. And now it just keeps going and going and going. What do you hope the takeaway is as somebody reads your book, Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate? What do you hope the takeaway is for the reader?
That's another good question, and I hadn't really given that much thought. I hope they can take away that, how should I put this? Try to live and have fun.
Yes.
Enjoy it while you can, and don't look at things in one light. Try to look at things with different points of views. And maybe you'll appreciate that those things even more if you can take a varied approach to it.
That's a great perspective. And if you spend a little time reading a few chapters in Ron's book, you'll smile. That'll be a great way to end the day. Maybe a great way to start the day. Do you ever think, what would have happened if you got into the Air Force Academy and you didn't pursue this looking at vocabulary and studying it the way that you did, and your whole outlook now on language and going back and chronicling it? What if you would have gotten into the Air Force Academy? Would you be as comfortable as you are today? As would you feel a sense of satisfaction like you feel today?
Rick, I really don't know. I've always tended to take the attitude that things happen in life for a reason. And I try to look at the positive side of things. Even though I didn't get into the Air Force, go to the Air Force Academy, I did end up getting my pilot's license while I was in the Air Force. And I think I had 40 hours in working towards my helicopter license. But after 3 helicopter crashes in less than a month, 2 of them involving 2 of my instructors, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I thought that if I had gone to the academy, I would have been a pilot. I wanted to fly jets. And the way I looked at it was that, if I had gone into the Air Force Academy and I ended up in Vietnam, which I did, I spent a year in Vietnam. So I looked at it as, if I had become an Air Force pilot, maybe I'd have gotten shot down and killed. So that's why I didn't go to the Air Force Academy. Well,
yes. And the end result is this great sense of humor, a great outlook on life. It's all reflected in Ron's book, Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate. One review says the book is a brain teaser if you like word puzzles, tongue twisters, flights of fantasy with word origins. This book is for you. It's an outrageous, fun, imaginative, creative mind that spins out these tales. And that pretty well, in a couple of sentences, sums up Ron and this delightful book that he has written, Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate. Ron, it's been a pleasure. So much to talk about at the time, just like in real life, has gone by way too quickly. We tried to get the most out of it and try to bring a smile to somebody's face during the course of the last 20 minutes or so. The book is available. Book you'll find anywhere books are sold, and I'll direct you to Amazon. In fact, we got the link on our website. Ron, thank you so much for being with us. It was fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Total pleasure.
It has been our pleasure having our guest, Ron Harvey, talking about his book, Short Stories to Amuse, Baffle, and Educate. Book available wherever books are sold. My thanks to URLink Print and Media Marketing, platforms that are completely customizable to your needs. They arranged our conversation today, and I thank them. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.